How does it feel, or how does it make you feel, to be first at something? Or to have the first chance of receiving something very special? The importance of what it means to be first fruits is something we need to consider since we have been called out of this world by God in this age. In a world that is ruled by Satan, and only the very few whom God has called can understand that fact. And because of this reason, we have the first chance to make it, to be part of God's kingdom. Now, Pentecost will be here before you know it, by the end of the month, not even a month away, which goes into this very theme, and I want to touch upon it, on this very aspect to elaborate with several examples on what it means to be first, but I will explain it in different ways, pointing out the positive and the negative consequences, what it means to be first at something. If anyone has ever played competitive sport in a school, in a league, professionally, there is a determination to be the best, the desire to be first. Now, when it comes to professional athletes, you may notice what the most important goal is for them when they are being interviewed. Now, they claim it's not about the millions of dollars they are getting for playing that sport, but it's their will to win a championship, to be first place, to be the best. And that's what you're pretty much going to hear from athletes when they are asked, what is the most important thing to you? Now, focusing on a race, when competing in a race, not only is it important to finish the race, but it is, of course, also beneficial to win the race, the first prize that one strives for. Now, third place, yeah, it's okay. Second place is very good, but first place is obviously the most desirable. It is also most noticeable, especially when standing on the highest block. Let's say if you have the first place, second place, third place, you're standing right in between second and third, the highest up, receiving that distinct ribbon or a gold medal, the accomplishment one feels after being victorious. To be called a champion is a lot catchier than being called a runner-up. Now, we should have the same desire when it comes to our spiritual lives. What is it that we are striving for? What is the prize that we are trying to achieve? Now, I'll turn to a scripture that hardly anybody ever goes to, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Being facetious. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and starting in verse 24. Something that we quote quite often, but very important, of course. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may obtain it. Everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, verse 26, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified, have overcome. Now, clearly here he's talking about spiritual aspect to it, because he's talking about preaching to others. That was the focus of what Paul is doing here. By running to obtain it, we put all our effort into it. You cannot win a race when you don't put all your effort into it. Paul was such a person who did just that, who was victorious in finishing the race. Notice 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. And what did he receive by doing this? In verse 8, finally, there is laid up for the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing, referring to Christ's return. Now, you read these verses from Paul, who's obviously very confident in what he had done. Is he bragging here about his accomplishments and the prize that he will receive? Well, if we say that today, if we are very confident in our calling and that we are going to make it, would that be considered bragging? He was absolutely confident in his victory. Are we absolutely confident in our victory? What we are obviously hoping for in the future. Let's notice Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. None of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. What mattered to Paul was actually finishing the race. Everything that he had done up to that point was his training. Now, he was called for a specific purpose, and he had a complete 180-degree switch from his previous life to what he was doing now. But there was a lot of training involved, and we read about all that in other verses of everything he went through. Just like when we compete in something and the intense training we go through is vital. Even a natural talent requires training. If we stop using our talents for a while, what usually happens? We forget. We become rusty, and we need to retrain ourselves to get back on track, and that goes with everything in our lives, even spiritually speaking. If we want to be the best at something, practice makes perfect. We hear that all the time. Professional athletes or whatever, they say that. You cannot just go to the games and play the games without going to practice first and learning what you need to do to become victorious and how to be a better player. And we must also possess within ourselves a faith which we have to have as we continue to run the race. Notice Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnared us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We run this race of faith, the heading of these two verses we just read. What is Christ waiting from us? We read about the joy that he has set, you know. That joy and anticipation for us is to make it into the kingdom. Christ knew what he had to do, his sacrifice on our behalf. And of course, he wants to see us succeed. And this is also our goal. This is a race that we are running today, that we continue to run and will continue to run until the end. We are looking for that first place finish. And we have a step up since we have the first chance because, as I mentioned, we are the first fruits in this day and age. Now, there are certain requirements that we must retain so we can be counted worthy at that first place finish. The most important thing, which is in our lives, is what we read about in Matthew 6:33. Another scripture we hardly ever go to, Matthew 6, verse 33. I'm sure you have it all memorized. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Is this the first and foremost thing in our lives? seeking first the kingdom of God. The things that are added to us are unimaginable. We just cannot comprehend what that is. Sure, we receive physical blessings, but it goes far beyond that. We have heard and witnessed already all the amazing things that has happened in our lives that we would have never thought possible. But God, through our faith in Him by doing the right thing, had all figured out from the very beginning. God already had a plan for us. Now, we may not realize at that specific moment when something doesn't work out the way we thought it might have, that God all along had a better plan in mind. I'm sure every single one of us, everyone that's listening in, has a story to tell about what they went through in their lives to get to where they are now, where we all are now. It's just another test that we go through that challenges our response. Something didn't work out the way we initially thought and had planned for, but it turns out to go a different way, which doesn't look appealing at first, oftentimes, but then it does. And then you could think back, okay, well, what if things were different? What if we went by the plans that we had thought out and would have went that route? It's hard to tell. It's hard to say. But God obviously knows better. Now, a lot of that has to do with responsibility, and there is a responsibility the church has to share to the whole world in Mark 13, verse 10. In Mark 13, verse 10, we read, "And the gospel, which is the only one gospel, must first be preached to all the nations." So if we may have had a plan in our lives to do something different, would that conflict with what we're reading right here? It's an interesting question. Isn't this how we became known to the truth in our generation, back in the days of Worldwide, the Worldwide Church of God with Herbert Armstrong, when he preached the gospel to the world? Well, what are we doing today? What happened in the meantime? We are pressing on, proceeding by doing what we are commanded to do. That hasn't changed. Unfortunately, a lot of people ended up changing, leaving the church. But we're not doing that. Along with these responsibilities the church has to be examples to the world, we ourselves have responsibilities amongst each other in the church. The Bible tells us in so many ways when we are in a particular situation, the first thing that we ought to do to bring about peace, for example, in Matthew chapter 5, in verse 23 and 24. Matthew 5 and verse 23. "Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." It's these little things that we personally go through with one another that we have to reconcile with, that we have to be on the right track with. Now, we're not supposed to judge, but we should be recognizing our problems first, as we read in chapter 7, verse 1. "Judge not that you be not judged." Verse 2, "For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. With the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but not consider the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." This is what we're supposed to do first to reconcile. Harboring grudges by not letting go will destroy us over time, if not taken care of. This is a very difficult challenge for many people. I mean, we're human, right? And we go through these things, and there's something that someone could offend you by. But once you start to harbor these grudges and not letting go, it could lead down a wrong and a bad path to not get over with. We have to always remember that everything that we do, how we live our lives, how we must obey God and why we keep his commandments, why we have been chosen in the first place, should be because we love him. But we did not love him first. Notice 1 John chapter 4. So where training still comes in. We are still learning. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beginning there, I'll read till verse 19. But there's a lot going on in these verses, which is very important. And just through these verses, can you have so much understanding of what this whole package is dealing with and what comes together to better our lives. First chapter 4 and verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born or better begotten of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement, propitiation or atonement for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Verse 12, No one has seen God the Father any time. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Holy Spirit. If we didn't have that, it would be really hard to understand and truly know what loving God is. Verse 14, And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. See how many times we read about that we have known these things, that we know these things. This is a process that we are going through experiences that we go through. Verse 17, Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Remember, he called us out of this world. He had already a plan for us. This is all before we even knew what was happening. He had this all figured out. We owe God our lives, and how much more grateful can we be? Excuse me. And what a special gift it is that he chose us first. Everything we have, we owe him. And has he not given us everything we need? We didn't do anything for ourselves. Now, we have to keep in mind that everything is not always about being number one, being first. And there has to be a balance, and there has to be a right approach that we must consider. We don't want to be haughty. We don't want to put ourselves in a first place pedestal, letting everybody know that you are the best and that you're better than everyone else. What will people think about that? You know, we're very careful in how we respond. We're very careful in how we present ourselves. And that takes a lot of humility. This is not how we represent ourselves, being that kind of person, being cocky. No. The Bible does talk about those who desire to be first, but they do it for the wrong motives. Keep in mind what other responsibilities we have acquired by living a godly life, serving one another. Notice Matthew chapter 20. Matthew 20, verse 20. It's about that time. No. Matthew 20, verse 20. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to him, "Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on the left in your kingdom." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They said to him, "We are able." So he said to them, "You will indeed drink my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father." Verse 24, "And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you," verse 27, "let him be your slave." In verse 28, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life, a ransom for many." There are many in the church throughout the years that have thrown everything they knew away to go back into the world. All the things that they knew at first had now been forgotten. The Bible does talk about this in Revelation 2, chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. Revelation 2, beginning verse 2. "I know your works, your labor, your patience. You cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. You have persevered. And have patience, have labored for my name's sake, and have not become weary." Verse 4, "Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent." That's the key right there, that last part. Sure, many people have left and back in the world, but God is still giving them a chance to repent. They have to recognize that, of course. Now, the time will come when Christ will return, and then they will beg him for their lives to be saved. And we know what Christ is going to say in response. We also read in Matthew 19, chapter 19, verse 30, and also in chapter 20, verse 16, "So the last will be first, and the first last. For many are called, but few are chosen." Hot topic. We have been covering a lot lately. Actually been covering this in our conference, and plan to write a further Q&A on this. I mean, we do have Q&As on this, and also the predestination booklet, which goes into this topic. But it is something that is very important if we do not have that at least understood in a correct way. But going back to that, so the last will be first, and the first last. You know, according to the world standards, in the eyes of man, powerful men, let's say, rulers, politicians, athletes, whatever it may be, what we are last in their eyes. You know, they're not gonna listen to us, you know? But according to God, whom he has chosen, the weak, the base things, we are first in his eyes. We keep his commandments. That's one way of how I look at that verse. You know, those who have heard about God's word and had some kind of understanding, who were in the church, but then left and went back into the world that they came out of, who then threw everything that they understood and supposedly, right, that they knew and they threw it all away, they had their chance. For their sake, though, they better hope that they were not called by God, but will have a second chance to respond to his call for salvation in the second resurrection. Now, those of us who will endure until the end, who are truly called by God now, the few that we are, will have the first chance to make it. If we want to be counted worthy, we better make sure what we are doing is right. Everything that we are doing now in our lives is right. Yeah, of course, we're not perfect. We go through struggles, a training, a learning process. But we do have to be ready now, spiritually speaking, mentally, in our minds, because we do not know when Christ will return. So those who die in this day and age must make sure they are counted worthy to be in the first resurrection. And let me just say, those who have been called and those who have made it and victorious and have died in this physical life, good. Good for them. I'm glad for them. I'm almost a little jealous because they don't have to go through what we are still going through in this day and age. For them, the next second they wake up, first resurrection. Notice Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5 and 6. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 5. But the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And then turning back to 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, for our last scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. That is our goal. This is what we are striving for. Can we see how important it is to be first with the right mindset and what we have to look forward to? So why then would we want to jeopardize that by throwing away that gift that God has given us to be counted worthy to be first?